Praise God. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. How many people found themselves last year? I did last minute Thanksgiving shopping at the grocery store. Bad decision. Do you know how long those lines were? So this year I realized it would be a good time to get it all together. So I borrowed stuff from mom. It's great. Happy Thanksgiving for moms. praise God. Hey, the title of my message, and it is just, we're going to do it in one, not a series. We're going to try it. Okay. Is seeing gold through God's sunglasses. S-O-N. For all those bad spellers out there, it's your excuse to spell bad. So seeing gold through God's sunglasses. And if you can open up your Bibles to John chapter 1. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 1. And we are going to base this on a story of Jesus' interaction with Nathanael. So John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. So I'm using Nathanael kind of as a really good example of what it's like to interact with someone that might be super negative. And let me tell you, right now we're in the middle of technically a pandemic. And it seems to be a tinderbox of mood swings. Anybody interact with a tinderbox of mood swings during this? You know, how about, has anybody stood in a customer service line and it wasn't you, but it was someone in front of you? Yeah? Okay. or even in the checkout counter, it just seems that there's a lot of negativity that's kind of pervading in this atmosphere. And we are going to have to learn how to navigate that as the representatives of Jesus Christ and not just navigate through it, but bring a change. Amen? So I'm going to start out with a story. And so despite pandemic restrictive circumstances and irritable rough people, we need to always remember to keep our antennas up. Keep our antennas up to hear from God for people, right? And the key to this message is, Brother Hagin used to always say this. He said, keep the switch of faith on. Did anybody remember the teachings of Brother Hagin? He said, keep the switch of faith on. So faith works by love, right? So you got to keep your switch of faith on. You got to keep your antenna up. That means you got to keep love on. Sometimes you got to turn love on. It is a choice. So this is a story that mom was there actually at the table. We were out to lunch with some friends at a conference, and it was a little bit out of town, and we didn't have a lot of time. You know, at a conference, you have like this much time to eat as fast as possible. And so we went to Applebee's because we seemed to be able to get in and there, out of there pretty quick. We looked at the parking lot. We went in and we got seated at a table. And instantly we kind of realized that this was not a great day for the waitress. Did you ever notice that? And let me tell you, like, it is very hard to be in wait staff right now. You know, there was a season that they weren't able to work. And oftentimes they're very short staff because sometimes suddenly, you know, half your coworkers are out for 2 weeks just out of, you know, policy. So we sat down at this table, and our waitress was, I'd say, grumpy. Grumpy is like a nice word, right? She was a little grumpy. The service was not the best. The drinks were going empty, and we didn't have a lot of time. And in that moment, you have to make a choice, right? And we choose love and compassion. So instead of getting offended and grumbly, and thankfully I was out with some really, some friends that were, how would I say this? They just walk in love. I just really appreciate them in my life. And so as we were kind of just realizing that this waitress was having a bad day, there was like what you call like a distant wall. You ever interact with someone and just their wall's up? And, you know, not a lot of eye contact. And right now, if you have a mask on and no eye contact, it's very hard to connect with people, right? So, you know, and I looked past the grumpy, and what I saw in her face was sadness, like that heart sadness. And so instead of judging her in my heart, sometimes it's not what you say, it's what you do in your heart. I saw with compassion, like I just went, Jesus, how do you see her? I just saw this compassion on her. And she was actually a beautiful young woman. She seemed to be in her, I'm going to say young as in your 30s because still technically barely in my 30s, but she seemed like she was in her late 20s, early 30s, stunningly beautiful. She was covered in lots of different creative tattoos and piercings, and she was actually gorgeous. And you know when someone's sad and a wall's up and you can just see there's an inner beauty to them inside and out, they're just having a really bad day. And so my friend turned to me and asked, he said, hey, are you hearing anything from the Lord for this our waitress to encourage her? And I was like, I got nothing. I was hungry. I was hungry. And honestly, I was like on that timeline. And if you know me, like I got to eat all the time, normally like about every 2 hours, and I'm always happy. And if we don't eat every 2 hours in the Cashman family, sometimes there's hangry that flows in. So I wasn't thinking that, but I was seeing her with compassion and love. I wasn't angry at her. I was just thinking, we got to get back to the conference, right? So thank God for having friends that challenge you to go to a higher level in life, right? So so I kind of was like, oh, all right, let me just pray. Let me see if I hear anything. I had nothing. So when the waitress came back, my friend looked at her and said, hey, do you happen to have any kids? And she goes, actually, I do. I have 5 kids. And I just saw like a little bit of a softening because you're connecting with her with someone she loves, right? And then it just came. And like I said, this isn't hyper spiritual. This isn't a complicated thing. He goes, I bet you're a really good mom. And it wasn't just a flippant compliment. It was a heartfelt, sincere. Like, I bet you're a really good mom. And then the wall came down. And she goes, I just love my kids. And she goes, you know, it's been a really rough week. Thank you for saying that. She goes, man, everything going on. And it's really hard. How many people have kids during the pandemic? Like, you're doing homeschool. You're trying to do cyber work and all this stuff. And so she just kind of opened up. There's an opening in her heart. Just from a simple thing of just, I see you. I want to connect with you with someone that you love. So we just chatted for a little bit, and then she went to get the check. And as she walked past me, now mind you, I put my antenna up, and I like felt nothing. Because by the way, I'm the Christian that doesn't feel anything. You ever have those Christians, they just feel stuff all the time. I like got nothing. I'm not a feeler. But I do know Jesus, and I know he's moving, but I don't get the goosebumps, and I don't like get the shakes. Like I just like know him. And God's given me a lot of freedom because I realize that there's like feelers and there's knowers, and I'm just a knower. No one's better than the other. So, okay. So she walks past, and out of the corner of my mind's eye, I almost say out of the corner of a spiritual lens, I saw this sun shining. You ever get like a daydream? That's what it seemed like, this daydream. And for a long time in my life, I thought I was ADD a little bit, just because like there's lots of thoughts going through my head all the time. And I just went, oh, okay, I'm seeing this sun in my God imagination. It wasn't this open vision, you know, it was just this fuzzy daydream. And I went, Lord, what does that mean? And then I heard in my heart, not audibly, but in my heart, this song. You can sing with me. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. And so I heard that song, and I went, okay, how do I make this not weird? Because I'm like not trying to make things weird. Anybody grow up around people that made weird things even weirder? Yeah. So I'm trying to make that not weird. So she came back to the table with a check, and I was like, you know what? I'm out of town. You know, sometimes you're like, they'll never see me again. Okay. But I was like, how am I going to make this not weird and not make her feel uncomfortable? But I'm going to take a risk because it was a positive thing, right? I didn't see anything negative. It was a positive thing. So I said, excuse me. I said, miss, I said, does the song You Are My Sunshine mean anything to you? And all of a sudden her face just went to like shock and then brightening and then shock again. And she goes, my dad used to sing that song to me all the time. And there was like a bit of a teary-eyed glass because I don't know the situation around her father, and the Lord didn't show that to me. But with that, I saw an opening, and I just went, you know what? Go to love, right? And I said, did you know your Father God loves you so very much, and that he sees you and he knows you and you're not forgotten and he's here with you? And then I just heard her eyes started welling up. And I go, can I pray for you? And I said, I promise I won't make it weird. I said, I know you're at work. Because you guys remember these things. They're at work, right? So we need to respect their time and always ask. Don't go grab them right now, right? Especially, so I go, can I pray for you? I said, I know you're at work and your manager might be around. I said, but can I pray for you? I won't make it weird. And I just put my hand just on the table. And she goes, yes, please. And she leaned into the table and put her hand like right beside mine. And because, you know, like I said, we're trying to, her manager's watching. I'm being respectful. I don't want to get her fired or anything like that. So I met her where her faith level was at. And I just prayed from my heart. And guys, I didn't have this hyper spiritual, thus saith the Lord, but I felt in my heart to pray a blessing for her. And I just prayed a really simple blessing over her and her children. And I felt myself praying for not only the obvious protection and God's healing power moving in their family, but I kept circling over and over again about how God was going to bless her and just prosper her. And he was going to just take care of her finances. Just real simple. Just real simple thought. Guys, it was just a blessing out of love. And at the end, so I stopped praying, and she just is like choking tears, and I'm choking tears. And she goes, "Thank you so much, man. That just meant so much to me." So what would we do? Oh, that's right. So we said, "Hey, do you go to church anywhere?" And she goes, "You know what? I grew up in church, but I left. I was kind of afraid of some of the quote extremes in the prosperity gospel." And you know, it was interesting. And so we just kind of talked a little bit, and we knew of this church in the area that was a really solid church and great church for kids. And I said, "Hey, you know, check this out. It'd be really good to get planted there." And she goes, "You know, I think I really am." And you know, I realized in a really simple prayer of blessing, God restored her heart in the character and nature of God to love her, protect her, provide for her and her kids, to bless her and want to prosper her financially, because she's a mom with 5 kids and a waitress at Applebee's in the middle of a pandemic. And God was going to meet her where she's at and had to restore faith in his will to take care of her and bless her and prosper, that wasn't going to have to be the rest of her life struggling, right? Just a really simple, and I want to share this story because following Jesus is really simple. And, you know, I always thought it had to be this really spiritual, like, audible voice. And I thought, just flowing with the love of God, right? Just flowing with the love of God. Simple thoughts, right? So, you know, sometimes you just have to open your mouth and start talking and let your motive be love and be in faith to hear from God for someone. And you got to take risks. So, by the way, when you minister to a waitress, you better leave a really big tip. By the way. And it was interesting. So my friends are all going into their wallet. Now, we had already paid. By the way, I just want to say this. If you don't want a good a minimum tip for a Christian, 20%. Okay? Just if you need like a base sometimes, you know, we're tithing, like a base is like 10%. Well, for a waitress, because if you talk about Jesus, they might see your little fish bumper sticker or like your cross tattoo. And if you give them a really measly minimum tip, it's not going to bode well for like the reflection of Jesus Christ. So my friends and I had already given her like a good Christian tip. And then, man, after you minister to them, you like get out. And so I actually saw, and I never carry cash, but I was out of town. So I saw a crispy amount in my wallet and I took that out and I just, you know, put it in there. Didn't make a big show of it. I just tucked it in there. And so we walked out just knowing that we had been obedient to love someone and to bless them, not just in prayer, but in a tangible way. Be warm, be filled, but you got to do something tangible. Amen. So, okay, how do we know that we are being prompted by the Holy Spirit to speak into someone's life? How do we know this? And there's something that I didn't really know, because once again, I thought I had to feel something all the time. Like, I need goosebumps. I need, like, an audible voice. I need the light shining down and, like, an angel. And, you know, I just didn't know growing up. How many people, like, you kind of thought that because maybe that was the way it worked for some people. But guess what? You just have to follow the flow of love and compassion, right? So in Matthew chapter 14:14, it says this: Jesus saw the huge crowd, and as he stepped back from the boat, he had compassion on them, and then he healed their sick. So Jesus was moved with compassion to minister to lost people. In fact, if you do a study throughout the Bible and look up how Jesus interacted, there was a love, there was a drawing, he had compassion for people. And, you know, you have to choose compassion when people are kind of rough to you, maybe a little ugly, maybe a little attacking, maybe like when you're in the customer service line and there is no customer service going on. And you got to choose compassion because we don't know what their story was, especially right now, right? So, okay, 1 John 4:17 says, as Jesus is in this world, so are we called to be. So if Jesus was moved with compassion to minister to people, we need to be moved with compassion. So many times we feel compassion but don't do anything. But that's just God ringing the bell. He's like, "Hey, you got some compassion for there. All right, so I want you to move towards them and start a conversation." So 1 John 4:8 says God is love, right? So what you're doing essentially is you sense the love of God flowing towards someone. You sense the Holy Spirit moving towards someone. And then it's God reaching out to them through the love of God. But we have a choice right then. So you can just do a little quick prayer and keep moving, or you can actually be the hands and feet of Jesus in that situation. And it boils down to our choice, right? So sometimes it's just a deep, heartfelt compassion. You ever walk past someone and you have compassion for them for no reason? like your heart goes out to them. You know, sometimes I just see moms, and I don't have any children. I have lots of like nieces and nephews and youth and teens, and they're like family to me. But when I see moms that are struggling with a bunch of different kids and just trying to get through the grocery store, your heart goes out to them because it's hard. But you know what? Your heart can go out to them, or you can start a conversation. Right? And look how to build them up and encourage them. Look how to speak into their life. Because there are just times, how many parents have been this close to a breaking point and just someone encouraged you? And I have some really great stories about that. All right. So number one thing, you got to stay full of the word. Okay? Because Jesus is the word made flesh, right? And God is love. So staying full of the word, staying full of Jesus, staying full of his love to a point of overflow. Gosh, it just captivates my heart. So 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the way of love. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially the gift of prophecy. And then it goes on to list 8 other gifts. All right, so follow the way of love. Follow the flow of love. All right, so what is prophecy? So I'm going to give you just the basics. So I'm not talking about the office of the prophet. I'm talking about just a gift. So, you know, there's a teaching gift, people that can stand up, like, you know, gosh, Billy Graham, he could minister to stadiums full of people, right? But do you know any person can sit down with a friend and teach them about Jesus, right? So I'm talking about the gift. I'm not talking about the office, the title, okay? So what is prophecy? So 1 Corinthians 14:3 in the Amplified says this, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their edification. What does that mean? In the Amplified Bible, it means to strengthen and promote spiritual growth and to speak words of encouragement, to uphold and advise them concerning the matters of God, and speaks words of consolation to compassionately comfort them. So it's, you start talking and the Holy Spirit brings these words. And oftentimes you're not planning on saying anything. It just kind of comes out of your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Out of the abundance of word, out of the abundance of love. So if your word level's low, your love level's low. So, you know, when I have like no food in my stomach, I get hangry. When I have no word in my life, if I'm not reading scripture, I get a little edgy. My family see me in edgy moments. They're not cute. But, you know, if I get in the word, it gets a lot better. So, and then what happens is words of strength and encouragement and comfort come out towards that person. And when someone is encouraging you and strengthening you and comforting you, hope rises up. Faith rises up. Vision for your future outside of, you see the end of the tunnel of this thing coming, right? So prophecy is not only saying what God says, it is seeing what God sees. Prophecy is not only saying what God says, he is seeing what God sees. So sometimes we might have a hard time tuning in, but if you can see people through the eyes of Jesus, it just gets you lined right up to speak into their life. So remember, Hebrews 11:1, it defines faith, and it basically says, it is seeing someone not as they are, but as God has called them to be. But you have to keep your switch of faith turned on, and you have to keep your switch of love turned on. So a prophetic word is seeing through God's sunglasses, S-O-N, the hidden gold in the midst of the dirt of someone's life. And how many people have tons of dirt in their life? Okay? I am not a perfect person. I am a pastor, but I am growing and I make mistakes all the time. And I say the wrong thing a lot because I talk a lot. So, you know, we got dirt sometimes in our lives, but God sees us not in our dirt. He sees the gold he's placed in our lives. So, and he speaks life over us and calls that gold out. So the Holy Spirit will use you to show the good in someone's life, how God sees them. Beneath the crud, the dirt, the mood swings, the attitudes, right? And he was going to reveal the treasures, the gifts, the talents, the purposes he's placed in their life. And those are things that Satan doesn't want people to see, right? So he trips them up into sin and gets them in the dirt so they forget that despite all their past and their present situation, they're worthy because God says you're worthy. Amen? God qualifies the called. He doesn't call perfect people. Read the Bible. He calls really dirty, messy people with rough paths because God gets all the glory. And he'll polish you up, man. Read the word. So, okay, so why does it feel so hard to hear from God right now? you know, as I'm talking to people, they're like, it is just, it feels hard to hear from God. I was like really struggling with this because, you know, there's a lot going on. It seems like it's a little bit hard to tune into what the Lord's saying. And I'll say this, I was thinking about it. And I just feel like a lot of it's because there's just a lot of mudslinging going on right now. Do you guys know what mudslinging is? It's a political term. And by definition, it is this. It is the use of insults. Everybody say insults. And accusations, especially unjust ones, with the aim of damaging the reputation of an opponent. Insults, name calling. You know, you can lay out some facts, or you can twist those facts and go right for the core of someone and name call, cuss them out, say you're a big buffoon, and I'm just saying, trying to use some Christian-esque words, right? So it's nasty. It's nasty, and it's especially nasty when you've been on the receiving end of it. Have you ever been on the receiving end of someone just insulting you, just tearing out your character? You know, the yo mama jokes, that's what it's all about. Don't talk about my mom. Okay, it really hurts when someone insults you to try to hurt you, and it hurts even more if they go after someone that you love or someone you respect. And this is exactly how Satan operates, and he is the accuser of the brethren. That's what the Bible says. He's an accuser, and he's a liar, by the way. And Satan always wants to trick Christians to recruit them into his nasty game of mudslinging. He just does. Because if he can get you to react in the flesh, he can get you out of the spirit. He can get you to turn your switch of love off, turn your faith off, and we just come right back at him. The Bible says, do not return evil for evil, but overcome evil with good, right? And especially, I've seen this a lot, and by the way, I watch the news. I try to watch the news. I try to pick a news station that gives me as much of the facts as possible with the least amount of mudslinging. But it's so funny. I was listening to one that is Christian-based, and it's still, I was hearing a lot of name-calling going on. I'm being serious, and, you know, people were being sarcastic and stuff, but I was like, come on, y'all. Like, just, it's hard, right? You see it on social media all the time, too. I'm seeing Christians cursing on social media. Yeah, it's true. Come on, how many people have seen Christians cursing already, reposting people that are cursing on social media? Come on, y'all. All right. So if you're having a hard time feeling the love for dirty, attacking people, aggressive, critical, attacking, negative doom and gloomers that like to constantly hurl mud balls at you, the ones you love and people you respect, you know, sometimes, like, the name calling can start ringing in your ears. Get a little mud ball stuck in your ear there, you know. Get a little muddy crust in your eye. You ever been hit with like maybe a dirty snowball, you know? And you got to take off your. I wear glasses normally, so you got to take your glasses off and kind of rub off that spiritual lens so you can get a clear picture. Otherwise, it's gonna taint it, and it's gonna taint how you see people, how you see the world, how you see what God's doing, and how God sees those people. You know, it's hard to see people in love and compassion when you feel attacked. So you have to keep your eyes on Jesus, number one. But I want to say this. The best thing to do is follow Jesus' lead. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. So Jesus was beaten beyond human recognition, it said. He looked like he was hung in a butcher shop by the time they got done with him. And if the beatings weren't enough, they were insulting him. They were name-calling him. They were making fun of him, sarcastically saying, King of the Jews. Sarcastically put a crown of thorns on his head, making fun of him, twisting truth, spitting on him, to the point where his friends kind of abandoned him. And he is hanging on the cross, and pretty much everybody left but a few people at the cross and his own mom waiting there, watching her son dying. And he uses his words, the final words. It was very hard for him to breathe at the time. And he says, Father, repeat after me, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He wasn't justifying it. It was sin. It was wrong. Sarcastically making fun of the Son of God that did nothing but good, spoke nothing but truth, did nothing but love. And to crucify him. You know, we're in a season that a lot of Christians are feeling crucified, but we have not gone through anything that he has. And if his response, not reaction, was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That was compassion. That was love down to his dying breath in the midst of being attacked. We have to clean the dirt off the mudslinging, the name calling, the insults. Clean it off your spiritual lens so you can see people the way Jesus sees them. Put on your sunglasses. And it is all about forgiveness and choosing to not be offended. Choosing not to take it personal. The Bible promises people are going to attack you because they see Jesus in you. You're going to do the right thing. You're going to speak the truth in love. And people are going to attack you for it because they're attacking him. But you need to be quick to forgive. Clean off your spiritual lenses so you can hear from the Lord real clear and you can see them how God sees them so you can speak life over them. Minister to them. So today we're going to learn how to direct a conversation into a prophetic word of encouragement. And then I'm going to go into the next step, which is how to then hear a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is when God speaks to you about something that you didn't have knowledge about their present situation or their past, which triggers faith to rise up. Triggers faith to rise up for healing in their life. And then it opens them up to another gift that you can flow in. You can't force it. Just open up your ears. Sometimes you hear something. Sometimes you won't. You'll just pray a blessing over them, right? About a word of wisdom, which is something that's going to happen in the future. So no matter how adverse the circumstances are, no matter if everybody has a mask on or not, and it's harder to connect with people sometimes, but guess what? Is this going to be your excuse for walking by? You know, the Good Samaritan. You know, let's just say the guy was laying in a ditch bleeding out, but he had a mask on. You know, are you going to walk on by? No, you're going to go minister to him, right? So we do have to stir ourselves up, though, and keep the switch of faith on and keep love on and keep filling the word, fill the word, full the word, full of scripture, full of love, pray in the spirit. You got to be built up to do this because if you go out into the world, if you go into Walmart on empty, I promise you mood swings. Truth. Why do you need to stay stirred up in the Holy Spirit and keep the switch of faith on to hear from God for other people or to encourage them or to bless them is because you have the cure inside of you, which is Jesus Christ. The cure to sin, the cure to sickness, to cure disease, to cure anxiety, to cure depression, to cure insomnia. He's inside of you. And you can't just sit in your basement and run the clock on the next however many months. You got the cure. You have the words of life. Jesus gave you words of life and commissioned you to go out into all the world and speak life over people. Amen? Your coworkers need you. Your waitress needs you. The person in the customer service line desperately needs you. Everybody at Walmart needs you because you have the cure inside of you. You have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? You know, interacting with rough personality types that are grating that just get under your skin is hard for me. I have to work at it because I can be pretty sarcastic sometimes. When someone gets mouthy and sarcastic with you, it is really easy to just kick it back and bounce. You know, when you're at Walmart and you see this cynical coworker that just drove you nuts, that just made you want to quit your job, and they would just stop at your desk every day and just rah, 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 and it's just really easy to go down the other aisle, you know? Or ready for this, pull your mask up even further and then just act like you got a phone call and just bounce out of there. But we're going to see how Jesus interacts with tough, negative personality types. So John 1, 43 through 51, we're going to read through this in the Passion Translation. John 1, 43 through 51. So basically, Jesus decided to go to the region of Galilee, and there he found this guy, Philip. And he said to Philip, come and follow me. So Philip, just Joe Schmo, average guy, interacts with Jesus, and he's going, you know what? He heard some good news. The good news actually means, direct translation, is the almost too good to be true news. So how about Jesus saving you from all your sin, all your past, all your personality flaws, and then empowering you to go heal people, love people, bring freedom and encouragement? That sounds almost too good to be true. That's the kind of news I want. Good news travels fast, and let me tell you, the world desperately needs good news right now. Amen? By the way, put good news on your social media page. Please, good news. All right. So verses 45. Then Philip went to look for his friend Nathanael, and he told him, "We found him. We found the one we've been waiting for. It's Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth, the anointed one. He is the one that Moses and the prophets prophesied would come." So Philip understood what it meant to be a true disciple. True disciples can't wait to tell good news. The world can't wait to tell bad news and gossip and slander and repeat the next terrible meme, okay? But disciples share the good news of Jesus Christ, and they're putting scriptures and God's promises on your social media page, okay? So Philip met the cure, Jesus Christ, and he wanted to bring that cure to all of his friends. So Philip's old friend, Nathanael, was initially a pretty, a nice way of saying it. He was a piece of work. You know somebody in your life that's a bit of a piece of work? You know, these are like Christian phrases for saying they're a bit of a jerk sometimes, okay? All right, so verse 46, Nathanael, his response to getting an invitation to, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. His response was, I like the Passion Translation. It says, Nathanael sneered. Nazareth, what good could ever come out of Nazareth? So really sarcastic, negative Nancy. They have other names for calling them, but we'll just go with negative Nancy because that seems nicer. All right. So Philip didn't react. He didn't get offended. He didn't attack back because you insulted my Lord and Savior. Okay. He didn't back off and he didn't get pulled into the mud fight. But he responded with grace and with joy and with love. He kept his love on. And he said this, verse 46, Philip answered, come and let's find out. Hey, you know what? Just come to church with me. Just come to movie night. Come hear about Jesus. Or let me just tell you this story about how I prayed for our waitress. Just come and find out. So we have to be careful to not let people's negative, off-putting personalities steal your divine appointment when you get offended. Okay? Verse 47, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said, now here comes a true son of Israel, an honest man with no hidden motive. But wait, he just literally cut down Jesus Christ. He just totally took a cheap shot. And his response, Jesus looked past the dirt of that comment. He looked past the dirt of the moodiness, the negativity around that person. And he saw who God had created him to be. He saw past the rough exterior. How do you know right now, a lot of people for 9 months have been their worst self? Right? Catch me in a mood swing. I will be my worst self, right? Okay? So in that moment, he wasn't his best self, but there was a thing that God had put in him. He said, remember he said, a true son of Israel, an honest man with no hidden motives. That meant he's a straight up guy. He may be really sarcastic. He may be negative, but he's not a liar. He always tells the truth. How do you know? I know Christians that lie. So here's a non-Christian that he may be pretty, you know, he might be kind of cussing and sarcastic, but he's an honest man. He doesn't cheat on his taxes. He doesn't lie. He's not manipulative. He doesn't have a hidden motive. So there's a good character in the midst of this man. And Jesus called it out. I'm going to skip over some things in my notes because I think I hit my point pretty hard. But I will say this, be very careful. I'm sarcastic by nature. It's just we're the Northeast. I lived in Oklahoma for a while and they didn't quite get all my sarcasm. So I've polished it up a little bit now that I'm being recorded. And you know, sarcasm, you know, it's okay to, I'd say, cut up and joke around about a situation, right? But once you start cutting on someone, cutting down on someone, you're really crossing the line. And that's when it gets from sarcasm to scarcasm. Anybody ever was made fun of? I got a real gummy smile. It's big. Sometimes it reflects the light of cameras and I get like a flash in my gums. It is what it is. You know, kids made fun of it, so I'm aware of it. And that what it does is it makes insecurity, right? But they were just joking around. But, you know, every time someone goes to take my photo, I try to smile a little bit less big. How dumb is that? But, you know, we just cut on other people. We think it's funny, but sticks and stones may break our bones, but words, they do hurt. We just learn to not show it. And things get repeated. You know, it hurts worse when other people, let me tell you what someone else said about you. It's like, say it in my face. It hurts so much worse when they say it behind your back, right? So Nathaniel said a jerk comment about Jesus behind his back, and it gets repeated, you know, things like that. It actually gets repeated for 2,000 years. It's immortalized in paper forever, and so is your social media. So leave it on that note. All right. You got to be really careful to not get pulled into the nasty, right? Because you can get pulled into trolling, social media, just and it ruins your Christian witness, and people will unfollow you, okay? And it misrepresents Jesus Christ. Because if you have one scripture on your social media next to another, like, cursing, name-calling thing about somebody you don't agree with, unfollow. All right. So instead of focusing on the dirt, Jesus declared that he found gold in Nathanael. He spoke life, and he prophesied how Jesus saw him, how the Lord saw him. God always sees the best in you. He doesn't expose your shortcomings, your personality flaws, or your bad past. He doesn't. Isn't that great that God doesn't bring up your bad past? If you keep thinking about your bad past, that's not God talking to you. That's Satan. So read your word, and then you're going to know that's not God rubbing your nose in your dirt. He doesn't bring that out. Look how he just interacted with anybody. He called out the gold. He doesn't focus on the weaknesses of Nathanael. He sheds light on the strength past the rough exterior, calls the gold out. Verse 48, Nathanael was stunned and said, "But you've never met me. How do you know anything about me?" It sounds like Nathanael didn't get a lot of compliments in this area. Truth. You're having a really, let's be honest, like 9 months, there's a lot of people that are compliment starved. There's a lot of people that are starved about just people seeing good in them. There's not a lot of interaction outside your family. And we know oftentimes our family tends to see the worst in us because we're often our worst self around our family. Okay? So when a stranger comes up to you and says, "You know what? I know your kid's having a fit right now. But, you know, I'm watching you interact with so much love and grace for your kid. You're an excellent mom. You're doing a great job." You know, they walk into a small business and some customer is tearing them a new one over something that is totally irrational and not fair. And you finally get up to them and they're just exhausted and they're ready to take one more hit. And you just go, "You know what, thank you for being open right now. I really appreciate the fact that you're taking a risk to keep your business open. And you do a great service here. Like, really, like, you're very trustworthy. You always give me a fair price. Like, thank you so much. And I'm going to go on Yelp right now and give you a really good Yelp review." Then pray a blessing for their business. Right? You know, you could drop off, like, maybe, like, a Christian book. Like, you know, not your dying and going to hell book, but, like, just an encouraging book, okay? Invite them to church. So he didn't get a lot of compliments in this area. There was hidden gold that wasn't obvious public knowledge. And it got their attention. And basically, Jesus was saying, "I see you. I know the real you." Not what you show other people. You know, oftentimes we have, like, defensive mechanisms. We have rough, you know, kind of our fighting stance because we've been taken advantage of. If you ever feel like you got to fight, you got to get the first punch in because you've been beat on so much. And God's saying, "But I know that you're a big teddy bear on the inside. I know you're an incredible dad. I know that you are so faithful to your wife. I know you're a very hard worker and you're an honest man. God, you know me even on my worst day, even in my worst self." In verse 49, Jesus answered Nathanael, "Right before Philip came to you, I saw you sitting under the shade of a fig tree." Nathanael blurted out, "Teacher, you are truly the Son of God, the King of Israel." So Jesus, he opened up with a prophetic word of encouragement, went to a word of knowledge, and then it was a sign and a wonder to Nathanael, going, "Whoa, you knew a mystery about me no one else knew. You saw me when no one else saw me." And this faith rose up. So what is a word of knowledge? A word of knowledge is a piece of the puzzle. It's just a piece of the picture. So 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 9 says this: "To one there is given through the Spirit a word, a message of wisdom, to another a word or a message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit to another prophecy. So it's a piece of the message, a word of knowledge, a piece of their present or past situation. It's a sign and a wonder. A word of wisdom is a direction about something that's going to happen in the future. And will always line up with Scripture. So stay full of Scripture so you don't miss it. So God speaks to us all differently. So let me talk a little bit about a word of knowledge. For me, most of them is just a fuzzy God daydream. It's like this distant picture. You ever been sitting in class? I was the kid that would sit on the front row so I could try to pay attention. And my brain would be 50 million miles away. I was there. I was seeing my teacher, but I was daydreaming. You know, so God talks to me often just this fuzzy, like, mental thought picture. Now, he talks to everybody differently. Like, my dad would get these, like, very vivid, open visions and dreams. That was more my dad. That's another way he can talk to you. Some people get a word spelled out over someone's head like a banner. Like, they might be talking to someone, and they just kind of, like, see the word maybe depression written over their head or over their chest. And that's God saying, hey, they're dealing with depression right now, so don't go speak the answer. God wants to heal you from that. He wants to give you joy. Okay, another way of just hearing a word of knowledge, this one that I get a lot, is just this foreign impression. It's this just distant thought out of nowhere, out of left field, and it lines up with God's word. It's not a negative thing. It's the answer. God focuses on the answer, not the problem. So if you see kind of a thing, you go, well, God, what's the solution? He'll give you the solution to speak over them. People know what's wrong with them. They don't need your help finding it, right? They need to know the answer. That's where a lot of Christians get it wrong. They just point out all the problem. You're like, that's what the world does. Speak life, speak the answer. Another one, like this happens to me a lot, mostly while talking. I'll start a conversation with someone and something unpremeditated, I wasn't planning on saying, it just tumbles out of my mouth. Just encouragement or a scripture just kind of comes to mind, right? So guys, if we can just give people scriptures of encouragement, that is the most profound thing you can give anyone. Remember, I just prayed for that waitress a really simple blessing. Just, you know, this scripture came to mind when I was talking to you. Let me just write it down for you, or I'll text it to you. Another one for a word of knowledge for healing. This is something I've been praying for, and God's kind of shown me. You can get, like, an odd sensation in a body part. Maybe, like, all of a sudden, like, your knee feels, like, tingly and odd. You're like, it feels weird. It never feels weird like that. And that's God identifying, hey, do you happen to have a knee problem, a knee injury, like maybe through football? And you're like, whoa, oh my gosh, how'd you know that? Well, if God reveals something to you for healing, is he just going to leave it there and go, okay, bye, peace? No, go pray for them. And if he reveals something to you supernaturally out of nowhere you didn't know, don't you think God's going to go heal them? No, miracles are instant. Healing is over a course of time. Like the fig tree, right? You go to the doctor because maybe you have a terrible cold. They give you like some medication. The moment you take the pill, sometimes you don't feel anything different. You don't see anything different. But in faith, you keep taking your medication because it says take it every day until it's all gone. Read the word every day until your situation changes. The mountain moves inch by inch by many people. So keep your switch of faith on, right? All right, so verse 50. Jesus answered, "Do you believe simply because I told you that I saw you sitting under a fig tree?" Hebrews 11:1, remember it says, faith is believing without proof in the natural world. Through a simple word of knowledge, God revealing some truth, it ignites faith in someone's life. It's a catalyst for faith. Faith is a catalyst for miracles and a life transformation. God sees me even in my biggest jerk day. God sees me at my best, and this person's reminding me that God still loves me. He has plans for me, even like I just dropped a bomb and I yelled at my kid, and this person says, God loves me so much, and he's going to get us through this, and he's going to provide, and we're not going to lose our house. We got to have words of encouragement. We got to see people at their best even when they're at their worst, right? All right. So verses 50 through 51, it says, you will experience even more impressive things than that. I prophesy to you eternal truth. From now on, you will see an open heaven and gaze upon the Son of Man like a stairway reaching into the sky with the messengers of God climbing up and down upon him. Prophetic word of encouragement, a word of knowledge. I see you. I know you. I know who you really are. All of a sudden opened up to God to speak to something that's going to happen profound for his future. A catalyst, a faith catalyst for a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. Maybe you just got to know Jesus this year. Guess what? He's got so much more for you. You stick with him because he's not quitting on you. Can you imagine all the gifts and all the revelation he wants to show you? He's calling you into greater intimacy with him. Bring your dirt. Bring your worst day. He wants to talk to you and reveal himself to you. This interaction overflowed into a revelation, greater revelation of Jesus Christ, a greater revelation, an invitation to come to know Jesus as his best friend, as a disciple, right? And then after that, overflows into a miraculous ministry partnered with Jesus. So maybe God just found you in your dirt this year. He's not going to leave you there. He's going to polish you up, even in your worst days, and he's going to go send you to be the answer to the world around you. Jesus prophesies supernatural revelations and ministry ahead. Just to know Jesus in a deeper way is so profound. Do you know you don't have to be a pastor or a preacher to walk so closely with him for him to talk to you, for him to use you to speak into someone's life, to change someone's life, to love someone that is really unlovely to the point where they transform and become what you see in them? You know, at this point, Nathaniel just gets swept up into hanging out with Jesus. He just hangs out with Jesus every day. And as he's hanging out with Jesus, he starts doing what Jesus is doing, loving how Jesus is loving, praying for people, and people are getting healed just the way Jesus was doing it. Aren't you glad that Philip didn't blow off his jerk, negative Nancy friend on his worst day? Aren't you glad he didn't get offended and be like, whatever, no Christmas card for you this year? You know, I also bet Nathaniel wrote down and carried in his heart the words of Jesus Christ. There are scriptures that I write down and I stand on, scriptures for my year that God speaks to me going, I will stand on this scripture this year. It's going to get me through this year. Because if you keep reading your Bible, it was a really, really hard life to follow Jesus. There was intense persecution and opposition. Later, a lot of disciples were beaten and imprisoned. Following Jesus is not a candy-coated, you know, rainbows and unicorns when you follow God. It's really hard sometimes. But God says, if you stick with me, I'm going to show you things you've never seen before. You're going to know me so deeply. I'm going to be talking to you and lives around you are going to change. Don't quit. We got to hold on to the scripture he's given us. We got to hold on to the words of encouragement God has spoken into our life through other people, right? 1 Timothy 1:18 through 19, and we're going to wrap up. It says, so Timothy, my son, I am entrusting you with this responsibility. In keeping with the very first prophecies that were spoken over your life and are now in the process of fulfillment in this great work of the ministry, in keeping with the prophecies spoken over you, with this encouragement, use your prophecies as a weapon as you wage spiritual warfare by faith and with a clean conscience. When someone gives you a word of encouragement, you hold on to that. When someone gives you a scripture, you hold on to it. When Satan's beating up your head saying, you're nothing, you're nobody, you're going to lose it all, you're going to lose your house, you're never going to get out of this, and you're going to die of cancer, you better know what God says about you. Because God says you will live and not die. God says he is faithful. He's going to restore. He will resurrect. And let me tell you something about God's promises. We do live in this broken and fallen world, and sometimes things happen that you go, whoa, that wasn't how I thought it was going to happen. It might have been a situation that really rattled your faith. Buried a loved one. I buried my father, okay? I've been through some incredible losses, and I was standing on scripture. But God also promises resurrection of things that look really dead. So you keep your switch of faith on, and he will not leave you, and he will not forsake you, and he will make beauty from ashes in your life, but do not limit him. Amen? How many people have your life been resurrected besides mine? There's so much goodness in my life now. There's so much beauty. I have so much family. I have these nieces. I just love them so much. They're my cousin's kids, but they're like having like my own sometimes. God has resurrected my life because I didn't quit, and sometimes you got to give him time. He will make all things beautiful in its time. I've had things spoken into my life that I thought, there is no way this could ever happen. Give him time. I don't care if it takes 30 years. The glory of the latter day will be greater than the former. The promised land looked like they lost everything, right? The children of Israel got into grumbling and complaining. They got in the mud. Listen, you wise, gray-haired people out there, this is your moment, Joshua and Caleb. Thank you for not quitting. Thank you for standing, because Joshua and Caleb led those young guns to take on mountains and expel giants, and their bodies were full of strength of a 40-year-old, and I'm turning 39 in a couple days, so that means you're young, because I'm feeling young. Do not quit. His promises are true. You give him time to resurrect your life. And on that, would you guys all stand? We're just going to pray. And there's some things that need to happen in this moment. We're going to pray and we're going to forgive. We're going to clean off that spiritual lens of the people that have attacked us, hurt us, people we loved, respected, people that have shot down the dreams that God has placed in your life, shot down the things you know you're called to do, rubbed your nose in your dirt, rubbed your nose in your past. Everybody repeat after me, Father, I forgive them. They know not what they do. Right now, they're just names and faces coming to mind. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. I dealt with terrible flashbacks for about 5 months of this pandemic. And every time I would get a flash of someone that hurt me, stabbed me in the back, slandered me, tried to destroy me, abandoned me, left me high and dry, I would name their name and I'd say, God, I forgive them. Forgive so-and-so. I forgive them. God, I bless them. I thank you they find rest and peace with you. You plant them in a church so they can fulfill the call of God on their life, that they would come to know you. I had a list of about 5 people that I thought I'd really forgiven, but man, the Satan was just hitting me, and I thought, you know what? I got to walk in total forgiveness. And you know what? As I finally, that like lifted off me, I started hearing God really clear again. So Father, we just walk in total and complete forgiveness. Holy Spirit, we love you. If you just feel dry, if you feel like, man, I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling nothing. I'm not feeling love. I'm not feeling joy. I'm not feeling peace. I am definitely not feeling compassion for the people attacking me. Whew. First step's forgiveness. And after that, you got to stir yourself up. It says in 1 and 2 Timothy, it says, stir yourselves up in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in, Ephesians 5:18, it says, to constantly be being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, under the pressure and stress in life, we tend to leak. How many people had a leaky couple months? It's the holidays. All right, so listen, I just want you to lift your hands, and I'm going to teach you how to do this every day at home. We just lift your hands at a point of surrender and a point of receiving. You know, kids come up to their parent and they lift their hands up because they just want to receive love. They want to be picked up. So, Father, we just lift our hands up and surrender and say, Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. Fill me. Just repeat after me. Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. Fill me up to overflow with love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Use me. I'm turning my faith on. I'm turning my love on. And I keep it on in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I love you guys. You're truly family to me. Praise God. Yes.